Okay, so we're on Daf Chaf Dalet tonight. Okay, so I'll begin two lines from the bottom on Chaf Gimel Beis 23b, page 46. Two lines from the bottom in the Mishnah. So Manitana Kori B'Torah Lo'ifot Mishloshah Psukim. The Tanna Mishnah says when one lanes, one has to lane at least three psukim. I can't have aliyah less than three psukim. The Gemara will learn the source for that. So Bizman Chazal, they would translate the Kriyat Torah into Hebrew. So you're feeding into the Maturgaman as the translator. So you shouldn't feed more than one pasuk at a time. So there's no confusion and everything remains very clear. He says on the top line of Chaf Dalet Aleph, Ubenavi Shlosha. But if I'm laning from the VM, I'm doing the Haftorah, then I could do, if I choose, as much as three psukim at once. And Rashi on the top line says, Ubenavi Shlosha in Yirtzeh. We're not so concerned for making an error in the translation of the Navi. In other words, you say like halakhic, you know, implications are, you know, not so much in the Navim. I think there are some in the Navim, but very few. And so we're not so concerned about it. The main thing is we're concerned about mistakes in the Torah. Back in the Mishnah, Hayush Shoshtan Shlosh Parshiot. If though, let's say the three psukim that I want to lane are in three parshiot, means in the Navi, they're in three different paragraphs. He says, Korin echad echad. Then I have to read it individually. And I think that the Ran says that they're like from different topics is the main thing. In other words, three parshiot would mean they're like different items, different topics. Then I have to do one at a time. Medalgin b'Navi, I could skip around in the Navi, but ain't medalgin b'Torah, but I can't skip around in the Torah. So we don't know this yet. The Gemara is going to explain that you could, that you could skip around the Torah if it's one inyan, if it's one topic, you could skip around. We don't know this yet, but the Tana is addressing where it's two inyanim. It's two different topics. So the Tana teaches me in the Torah if it's two, if I'm going to, you know, let's say one topic is zavin and the next topic is negayim, so I can't skip from topic to topic, but I could in Navi if it's two different topics. Yeah, kamahu medaleg. How far can I skip around, assuming I have the heter to skip? If I get to, I'm at point A, I want to go to point B, I have to be able to get to point B before the maturgimon, before the translator finishes his targum. If it's more than that, it's too much tircha on the tzibur. So that's what I could do. All right, who's got questions? Who, what? We do. You tell me where. That's not what I, that's Dole, but where do we, you know? No, you know where. You know, anyway, on the Tanit Tzibur, right? We lane by Echal, and then we skip. We do skip in the Torah. Okay, but we'll see more in the Gemara. Any questions, comments, thoughts? Everybody good? Okay, so, all right, so we're going to continue on in the Gemara now. Let's just do the top Tosfos. So Tosfos is v'navi shlosha v'yachshav. Now it sounds like from the Bali Tosfot that the Zman Bali Tosfot they were still translating things into the Targum. It says v'yachshav einon makan on the Targuman afil v'navi l'pasuk echad. So the Bali Tosfot say that we don't give the Targuman even navi only one pasuk at a time. So you have all the Tos, so you won't make a mistake. Rapa chilat ahav Torah on Korean shlosha Targuman. At the beginning of Torah, we'll feed three psukim. So, like, serves notice that that's the halacha. If we weren't concerned that he'd make a mistake. So, but in general, Tosfos says we do one. But in the next, we'll see shortly. In the next Tosfos, he says that let's do the next Tosfos too. If we said that if the three psukim were on three different partio, like three different paragraphs, I have to divide it separately. And so the Ron says, because it's different topics. So Kasha, so Tosfos says, Almasha Anam Targman, Bayomi Oshualam Hit Kadashu, Yesham Shoshap Sukim, Ay Ba'edahi, Umakrino Talam Targim Shashtam Yachad, Yapapishish Parsha Bisok Shank Sukim. Says, Baha, so Tosfos is asking, it's difficult, because we have, we're Sukim that are broken up by the Parshiot, it's in the Sefer Yehoshua. So we do lane like Sukkim, even though they're in different Parshiot, And it sounds like you have one pasuk and then two pasukim, it sounds like. So it's difficult. Why do we do that? It's broken up. Tosu says we are mitargim the haftorah during Pesach and Shavuos more than other Yom Tovim. So at least Pesach and Shavuos they were mitargim. He says lofishen medabrot b'neis hayom, because they speak about the miracles that occur on Pesach, the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and on Shavuos of Matan Torah, the part same aneis. We want to publicize the miracle. Apparently, with the targum the fact that they're doing it in the shinui, I guess. And that's more mepharsh than aneith. Okay, mepharsh and Torah could be the first name aneith. I mean, if everybody speaks Targum, then it's mepharsh and aneith more. But I don't know in the time of the Bali Tosfot whether everybody spoke Targum. All right, let's see. He's talking about the Nevi'im. He's talking about, yeah. All right, let's see back in the Gemara. So the Gemara says Hanish Shosha Pesukim Kneged Me. So he said that each Aliyah has to have at least three Pesukim. What are the three pesukim? Where does that come from? What do they correspond to? Amar Rav Asi, can they get Torah, Nevi'im, and Ketuvim? Corresponds to Torah, Nevi'im, and Ketuvim. I was talking to Rabbi Sobolovsky. I was saying, you know, like, what about, you know, like, before the Ketuvim were, all canonized or written, you know what I mean? Like, that needs three pesukim. In other words, what type of raya is this? So he was saying that the Gemara says in Bava Kama that three pesukim was only takana after the time of Ezra Sofer, before that, not. So then that would have been after the time of Ketuvim. Below you kralam and turgiman, you termi pasuk echad. So the Mishnah said that if you're reading from the Torah, you shouldn't read more than one pasuk in the turgiman. Then he translates, then you do one pasuk. If you're laying the Nevi'im, you could even you don't have to, but you could give up the three pasukim at once. So when you shosh parshiyot, but if the three pasukim that you want to lay are in three different parshiyot, kriya echad echad, you should do one at a time. And Kigon, and now the Gemara gives an example in a Haftorah where we'd have, and this Haftorah is from the Shiva the Nechemta. It's Anochi, Anochi, Hu Menachem Chem. Kigon, Kichomar Hashem, Chinem Nimkartem. One pasuk says, Hashem says, like he was sold for like nothing. It means like, he says, then Kichomar Hashem Lokim, Mitzrayim Yerad Amiba Rishona. My people went out to Egypt initially. And then the third pasuk says, what do I have doing here? Hashem says, but the key is that you have three psukim in the Haftorah, each from a different parsha. All right, midalgim and aviva, midalgim and Torah. We can skip around in the Nevi'im, but we can't skip around in the Torah. I explained it based on the maskana, but we don't know this yet. Okay, so it sounds like in the Havamina, in the Torah, I can't skip around at all. But the Navi, I could skip around. Ramini, so we pose a contradiction from the Mishnah Masechet Yoma, which Daf Yomi people had a few months ago. It says Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, Korei Achrimot, he leans from Achrimot, Va'ach Be'asur. And then after he's done leaning one Sefer Torah, after he's done with Achrimot, he rolls to Emor and he leans Ach Be'asur. So the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur skips from one section to another section. He says, so the Gemara says, but we just said, he's skipping, but we said in the Mishnah, he can't skip. How do we reconcile this? We said the Torah can't skip, and it says the Mishnah says, Masechet Yoma, the Kohen Gadol would skip. So he says, Amar Abaye lo kasha. So Abaye says, no contradiction. Kan b'chtei shiv so ketur gaman, b'kan b'chtei shiv so ketur gaman. So the way the Abaye says, our Mishnah is talking about, I can't skip it, it's going to be a big break. It will take, you know, longer to go to the second place, that the Turgamon will be finished and done already. Over there, it's talking about that the Turgamon, you know, won't run out of time. So the Gemara says, V'hala katani, but we learned in our Mishnah, and Rashi takes out the word Allah, midalgim in Avi, v'im midalgim in Torah, that you could skip in the Navi, but you can't skip in the Torah. He had kamahu midaleg. How long can he skip, or how much time does he have? Like they should have spoken Torgamon before the Torgamon finishes saying what he needs to say. So Mechlal the Torah cloth below. So the implication of the Mishnah is not that you have a heter. In other words, he's assuming that you have like a time limit in the Torah, and if I could turn to that place before Torgamon finishes, I'm okay. But for the Mishnah, it sounds like you can never skip around in the Torah. So Elo Marabai. So rather, again, Elo, you know, we revise and it's like delete the previous shot. Elamar Baye, Lokasha. Kan b'inyan echad means the Mishnah Masechet Yoma, when it says the Kohen Gadol would skip from one section to another section, because they all relate to the same topic. They all relate to Yom Kippur. He says, Kan b'shtein nyanot. And our Mishnah that says that you can't skip from section to section of Torah is talking about it's two different inyanim. If it's two different topics, then I can't skip around. He says, let's take a look at Rashi. B'inyan echad, sheshnei medabrim medabar echad. It's the same topic. The Inkan Tirafadad. It's like no confusion. The people listening, you know, they're on the same wavelength. Yom Kippur, Yom Kippur. I'm good. He says, Hilkach, Kilo Mafsik Turgaman. So if the Turgaman has not stopped translating, in other words, I got to a new place before he stopped, Nidalik, I'm free to skip. Shreshneim Binyan Yom Kippurim Midabrim, because they're both talking about Yom Kippur. Umanitan Dikatani Pla Lo. But our mission says you can't skip around the Torah. It's like two different topics. Kigon, the Parshat Nigan and the Parshat Zavim. Parshat Nigan, Parshat Zavim, that I can't do. Let's see back in the Gemara and I'll propose in just a few lines. So the Gemara says, Bahatanya here, Bahatanya, you see Rashi says, Bini Chuta, it's a statement. Whereas Bahatanya is usually a question, but here it's a statement. Bahatanya supports what we just said, Midalgin B'Torah Bin Yanachad. I could skip around the Torah if it's the same topic. And then Avi, I could skip around even if it's two different topics. Khan v'khan, but in both instances, in whether it's one topic in the Torah or two topics in the Nevi'im, b'chdei shlo yipsoka turgaman. I have to get to the second location before the turgaman, you know, finishes translating. He says, Tani idach, now I learned in a different braisa, Ain medalgin in Navi l'Navi. You're not allowed to skip from one Navi to another Navi. Uvanavi shal shneimasar medalig. But within shneimasar, that like treasar, like we say in Anyway, so with treasar, Navi shal shneimasar medalig, I could skip around in treasar. Uvavachlo yedalig misofa sefer tchilato. Provided I don't go like in reverse, La Freya, from the end of the Sefer to the beginning of the Sefer. Now, there's an issue that comes up, you know, several issues that come up. Now, sometimes there are people who have the minhag, like there are different haftarot during the year. Like sometimes, let's say, Parsha Shkalim, and the next day could be Rosh Chodesh. So some people have the minhag that have the haftarah for Parshat Shkalim, which would be even Sheva Shanim Yehoash B'Malcho, and then they do the first and last Pasuk of Bachar Chodesh. And there are other Haftarot during the year where the same thing occurs, like during the Shiva Dinachemta and other Haftarot also. And any event, so, but when you do that, that would be Medali Minavi L'Navi, right? That would run afoul of this rule that we had in the Gemara. The Gemara says you can't skip from one Navi to another Navi, and yet here you would be skipping. Yeah, but no. It's true, you don't have a Maturgamon, but that makes it only worse. The Maturgamon gives you a few seconds to shift, but even, in other words, even the shifting, in other words, even under the best of circumstances, the Gemara, the Tana says, you can't be Medali, me Navi, Navi. You're not allowed to skip from one Navi to another Navi. That's what the Gemara says. We said it's too much tircha for the tzibur. It was too much tircha for the tzibur to go from one Navi to another Navi, presumably. Now, so somewhat of this, so there's different answers that are given to this. So the Me'iri, there's a Me'iri on this. The Me'iri says, the Me'iri quotes a minag that they would, on the Shabbos of a Chasen, they would lay in Sosa season and the regular Haftorah. So they have two different Haftorahs. So that seems to, you know, run afoul of this rule that we're saying. So the Me'iri wants to say that it's only a problem skipping around if I'm skipping around because I need it, it's required. In other words, like I want to eat, like you have to lay in 21 psukim. So if I'm skipping around mitzad chiyuv, then I run afoul. But if I'm skipping around not because of chiyuv, like he says, it's just like a nice song for the chasen, like nishkeprela, although then they bring down that they really end up saying Sosa Sis is the special haftorah for a chasana, that they would say like not within the brachot of the haftorah. But other reasons you could say is that that the problem is, you know, skipping around from place to place. Like Rabbi Solovsky was saying to me, like, let's say we have printed Sfarim, or, you know, today, or somebody was saying to me, a printed Sfarim today. So then that doesn't sound like that would be such a problem, you know, skipping around. But I think the better practice is, frankly, not to say those psukim, like from Makar Chodesh and other Nevi'im. In other words, like the Sfar Rishon, you think, I'm doing more. In other words, like, I'm doing Aftar, and I'm doing Makar Chodesh. But I think the more logical position is that the same, you know, psukim from another Navi is really not called. What? Even the same topic. The halacha is a medalgim in Avi. That's a given. That's what the Tanna says. You're not allowed to be medalig from, even though you can be medalig, but you can't be medalig min Avi l'Navi. You can't jump from one Navi to another Navi. No. But in the same Navi is not, but you could do it. Now, let's say I'm in Yeshaya. So I'm skipping one parak later in Yeshaya. That I could do. But if the Haftorah is in Sefer Malachim, and I'm skipping Sefer Shmuel, which would be Makar Chodesh, that's medalig min Avi l'Navi. That doesn't work out so well. Or, you know, it could be, you know, sometimes you have Hashemayim Kisi, like Rosh Chodesh is on a Shabbos and a Sunday. So some people say Hashemayim Kisi, which is from Yeshaya, and then yeah, Machar Chodesh, the first and last Pasuk. It's medalim Navi Navi. It's better, to my way of thinking, not to even get into that whole thing. All right? Now, the other thing that I was, I don't have really a firm answer for this. I was a little bit bothered, on Shavuot, we Ashkenazim have a minhag to begin the Haftorah and then to interrupt the Haftorah with Yitzit Pitgam, which is like this, like sort of like a piyut in Aramaic. And I was a little, I don't know what the heter is to do that, frankly. In other words, it's coming out, you know, that I'm not clear what the heter is to interrupt the Haftorah. It's this whole piyut, you know, on Shavuos. All right.
I have a question. Okay. Could you say a little bit more about the role of the Torgamon?
So the Torgamon is translating the Hebrew into Aramaic. That's the language everybody spoke. So they would read one pasuk in the Torah, and then the translator would translate it into Aramaic.
Is he present at all times, or? Are on special occasions.
No. In other words, whenever you would land, there'd be a Meturgamon who would translate.
From the Aramaic into the Hebrew.
From
with the Hebrew, Hebrew into the Aramaic.
Aramaic. Okay. All right. Yeah, but from what? Not. But no. Where does it say that? What? Let me take a look. One second. This is 24A, number 17. Let's see. All right, one second. A2, number 17. Oh, you're right. He does say, let me see, 17. Let me take a look. So, what does that say? Time and time in the torment of Yatan. But if he be Shnei and Yanim, wait. Yeah, so you're right. So Yosef quoted to me in the art school, footnote 17, says about two separate topics. No. But that would be two separate topics. If it's Machar Chodesh, that's really like I would if I'm laning, let's say Parshat Shkala, Haftorah for Shkalim, and then I'm adding the Pesukim from Machar Chodesh, that is a different topic. So you're not allowed to do that. If it's the same topic, he quotes pre-chadash that you could do. All right, let's take a look back on the Gemara. So the only thing you could tie now, though, is let's say you're doing, maybe if you're doing Hashvayim Kisi and then you're adding the Machar Chodesh, maybe that would fit in with pre-chadash's thing, but a lot of cases not like that. All right, I'm moving on. Okay, so the next Mishnah now. Okay, so we're around 15 lines from the bottom on Chavdal and Amaral. Okay, Manitin, Hamafti Benavi. The one, now Rashi says, the one who customarily says the Haftorah, the Chamin were mitaking, Amati B'Avi, who Poreis HaShema? He's going to be the one. Now, Poreis HaShema takes place before you get to the Haftorah. But it means, let's say in this shul, we know Shlomo always says the Haftorah. So he's going to be Poreis on Shema. Now, if you remember, we learned the different pshats and what Poreis on Shema is. So Rashi's pshat, where the Ron explains it, is talking about 10 people who didn't daven and come to shul. But the second pshat that the Ron gives seems to be better here. Poreis on Shema would be the one who's going to recite the brachos of Kriya Shema, and the people are going to be yotzei with his bracha. So he's going to recite those brachos. Who Poreis on Shema? Who over lefnei hateva? And he's going to be over lefnei hateva, either the first pshat he'll say to the kedusha, or he's going to be the shliach tzibur. In other words, the idea is that he gets sort of like a lesser kava, or we'll see in the Gemara, but one shot is he's getting less kava by doing the haftorah, so we're kind of like, you know, we're making up for it, we're giving him greater kava. Who knows, say kapav? And he, if he's a kohen, he'll be the one to duchen. So everybody asks, what does it mean he's going to be the one to duchen? Don't all the kohen name duchen? So, please, wait, somebody's unmuted. I'm going to mute everybody again. All right. Please, everybody, stay muted until I pause, okay? So Tiferes Yisrael has two answers. So, one answer Tiferes Yisrael says, when it says, Huno se kapav, it's just because he's going to say in a minute, in Miyakatan, he's not no se kapav. In other words, if the one thing in the Haftorah was a katan, he's not going to be no se kapav because he's too young to do it. So here he's saying, who knows, say it, kapav. He could. In other words, it's the idea is in a minute he's going to say if he's a katan, he can't. But if he's an adult, he could. That's one way. The second answer the first Stroh wants to say is that it's saying that the person who said the Haftorah will be the one to begin like the bracha. In other words, there'll be other kohenim, but he'll begin the bracha before all of them. So that's one another answer. Now, another answer that Turi Evan gives, and they quoted this in the Art Scroll, and the other one as well they quoted in the Art Scroll, the Turi Evan says it refers to a situation, let's say you have a minion that's all kohenim, and so if I have 10 kohenim, they're all going to duchen. But if I have more than 10 kohenim, then the only kohenim at this minion. So if there are more than 10, so that which is more than 10 will be the ones to duchen. Let's say I have 15 kohenim. So 5 of the kohenim will duchen, 10 will listen. So he's saying that the one who is Poreis on Shema, he's going to be one of the ones to duchen. In other words, he won't have to worry. In other words, he'll go up to the head of the line. Only kohenim in the minyan. That's another pshat. Now, another pshat you could say, and I mentioned this to Rabbi Sobolovsky today, there's a Beis Halevi. So the Beis Halevi is mechulak on this, but the Beis Halevi quotes from a rav, I think it's from Bezalel HaKohen in Vilna, that he, Rabbi Sal, went in the 19th century, went to Trieste, which is like near the border now, it's between Italy and Slovenia. So he says there, the minhag was that only one kohen duchen and the other kohen listen over there. It was Shomei Kohen. So the Beis Halevi has a whole, a discussion where he doesn't agree that you be Shomei Kohen but Birchas Kohen. But if you would say like that other pshat, so it would be, who knows, say kapab, he'll be the one to duchen, and the others will listen. He gets that kavod, and they'll be yotzei with Shomei Ka'ona. Now, v'imaya katan, if the one who is the maftir is a katan, meaning he's below bar mitzvah, but he knows l'mi mevarchin, he's old enough for that, aviv o rabo obrin al yado. So his father or his rebbe will fill his place, in other words, for the davening, for the other stuff, because he can't dump with the amud. Then it says, katan kurei b'torah u'mitargim. Tana Mishnah says a katan could read from the Torah and can translate. Aval inu poris al shema, he can't be poris al shema. He can't say the brachos of kriyat shema to be motzi people. He's not mechuyav b'davar. So he's not mechuyav b'davar. He can't be motzi people. Veino ver lefnei teva, he can't serve as a shliach tzibur. Veino nosei kapav, he can't duchen. Then pocheach is a person. The way Rashi learns, whose legs are exposed. In other words, he's got very short shorts on. But some want to say otherwise. The Rambam wants to say his arms or his shoulders are exposed. He says, Poreis et Shema, he could be Poreis et Shema, umetargim, and translate, aval enu korei b'Torah. It's not kavod sibur that somebody who's dressed like that should read from the Torah, but ain't over lefnei ateva, nor should he be over lefnei ateva, dumb for the amud. But ain't no se kapav, and he shouldn't be no se kapav. It's not kavod to go up that way. Then the last halacha in the Mishnah is Suma, Poreis et Shema Matargim. A Suma, a person who's blind, can be Poreis et Shema, can recite the bracha of Kriyat Shema Vimotzi people, even though one of the brachot is Yotzer Hamorot, Yu Hashem who created the luminaries, and he even be Summa from birth, and he never saw luminaries, he can be both see people. The Gemara learns because he gets help from other people who can see, Umitargim, and he could also translate from the Torah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, the Tan Rabbi Yehuda says, Kol Shel Rama Orot Miyamav, Eino Poreis Hashma. According to Rabbi Yehuda, if he was blind from birth, he can't recite those brachot because he never saw the Morot to be able to bless Hashem for it. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on the Mishnah?
I think I missed something last night. What is Poreis Hashma?
Okay, 1 second. Michael's going to ask a question, I'll come to you. Okay, what's... Yeah, but Morot, I mean, Morot sounds like luminaries. In other words, yeah. you're saying heat, but in other words, he doesn't know what the light looks like or what the sensation is. That's according to Rabbi Yehuda. In other words, light is you see things with light. That's the essence of light. Now, okay, so Fern asked me about, so Michael was saying about that a blind person can sense night and day, and he knows like the heat of the sun on his skin. But the main thing is, according to Rabbi Yehuda, being able to see things. Okay, again, Poreis Hashma is machloket rishonim, what it means. So one pshat that we had this, was it yesterday?
Last night.
So one pshat is that 10 people daven the yechidus, they all daven by themselves, and now they got together. So one person is going to recite one of the brachot of Kriyat Shema. Yotzer HaMa'orot, that's Rashi's pshat. Then there's another pshat that the Rambam quotes from the Gaonim that it means that Poreis Hashma means one person is going to be motzi everybody with Birchos Kriyat Shema. So they're going to sit and listen to him say Birchos Kriyat Shema, and the one who's Poreis Hashma is going to say the brachot.
I think my question is, why do they use the word poreis?
So the first pshat, poreis means like a slice, like a piece.
To divide it up.
You're not saying all the brachot, you're only saying one brachot, or in the first one shot. And the second shot understands poreis, I think, to mean like that he'll, what is it, to begin with it? One second. All right. The second shot, Poreis means something else. For the second shot, I think it means like to begin, but I can't quite remember so clearly. Okay. All right.
So it has nothing to do with prakim of Shema. It has to do with the brachot lifnea.
Right. The brachot.
Okay. Thank you.
Either the first brachot or all the brachot. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
So Lachora, that's the way you'd have to say that. He says, what is he saying? Yeah, so that's really the same things we had yesterday. We said that Katan was older than in Shiva, right? We had that yesterday's Gemara. Hakol in Shiva feel Katan. So if a Katan could be older than in Shiva, then he could learn from the Torah, Lachora. So that's all I could say with that. All right, now, let's see further in the Gemara. Now, the Gemara says, my time. So what's the reason that the Matir Ben Avi, what's the reason the person who says the Haftarah, what's the reason that he gets all these goodies, that he's Poreis and Shema, he's over the Teva and Osei Kapav. So my time, Rapapa Mar Mishum Kavod. Probably says, out of Kavod, and look the Rashi, 4 lines to the bottom, or 5 lines. In other words, it's not considered such kavod to say the Haftorah. In other words, it's bigger kavod to get like a regular lead to the Torah. So he's taking the Haftorah, so we're going to sweeten up the deal for him a little bit more. Rabbi Bar Simi Amar, Mishum Da'atim Suyeh. Rabbi Bar Simi says, no, it's a different shot. It's like, we're afraid that people are going to fight. In other words, he's taking the Haftorah, which is in Sokavadik. the person who's a shlich tzibur is going to get paid. So here I get this, I don't get paid, and somebody else gets this paying job. You know, like I'm doing this, so I expect a paying job. So my binay, what's the nafkamina, whether I say the reason is out of kavod or akim of suye? So ika binay with the other bechina. So one nafkamina would be if the person is davening for no pay. So then he's not going to argue, you know, to that he should be the one to daven, where nobody's being paid to daven. So then if that's the case, so then the one who says haftor would just do the haftor, not necessarily the other one. But he says, now, Tanan, we learn in our Mishnah, the katan, avivu rabo over in al yado. So he says, if he was a katan who said the haftorah, so his father or his rebbe will take his place davening before the amud and doing anything else. So iamrit mishum in suye, the Bach has katan bar nisuyehu. So the Gemara is asking Kasha, according to Tzad, again, by the way, with that thing about Avid Achinam, an incident, whole thing, it does it for free, so then it wouldn't be a problem in Suye, but it would be an issue of Kavod. In other words, if it's for Kavod, then I still would want to adopt it, but this payment, nobody's getting paid, so this could fair luck. So the Gemara says, now the Gemara is asking Kasha, though. We may have Katan, Abu Rabo Yado, Yamri Bisham in Suye, Katan Barn in Suyehu. If we're concerned for fighting, is the katan somebody who's likely to fight? In other words, is in our minds, do we imagine like a 10-year-old is going to start up a whole ruckus that he didn't get to daven musaf because he wanted to get paid for it? So elamai mishum kavod. So what's the alternative that is being offered out of kavod? To katan bar kavod. Who is katan? Somebody who seeks kavod, you know, like that. Ela ikikvod aviv kvod rabo. So you'd have to say in that side, right, vis-a-vis the katan, he's looking for the kavod. But his father or his rebbe demands the kavod. So turn page. So the Gemara says, "Hachanami ikinisuya vivitsi rabo." So similarly, the father or the rebbe could argue, you know, that he wants to get the tefillah because he wants to get money. In other words, the father or the rebbe is like we'd say in law, subrogated. He's subrogated to the rights of the katan. He's like in the shoes of the katan. So that fits in, that doesn't cut. We wanted to bring this as a proof one way or another way, but it's equal for both. And in other words, whether it's kavod or fighting, the kavod is shayach by the katan anyway, because either the father of the rebbe would seek the kavod, or the father of the rebbe would seek the payment. All right, now, the Gemara says we're up to pocheach. Pocheach is the person whose legs aren't fully covered, or some other part of the body isn't fully covered. Pocheach for isashva v'chulei. So by mine ulabar rav me abaye, ulabar rav es abaye, katan pocheach, maushik rabba Torah. If a katan is pocheach, it means he's a katan. The way Rashi takes it is there's a pasuk, lo yurebecha erva davar. In other words, the problem with pocheach is like, you know, an adult, and it's like too revealing. So it's like erva davar, not that his like his genitals are exposed, but it's like too the erva davar. So a katan, who, you know, is by definition, he's below puberty. So is there a problem with him leaning from the Torah? He's pocheach. Now, that's one shot. But you could say, they quoted in the article, there's another shot with Turei Evan, you could say it just means like this, not coming into Erva Davar, but just, is it a Kavadika thing that the Katan should come? In other words, like, is it such a zilzul for the Olam and the Katan is dressed that way? So Amarle, Itibai Lach Arom. So he says, why don't you ask what if the katan is totally undressed? Arom Alei Tamalo, why totally undressed katan, why is that good? Mishum Kot Sibur. So even if it's not Erev's Davar, it's Kot Sibur, he says, Hakanam Mishum Kot Sibur. So yeah, it's right, it's like Kot Sibur, he's working up that way. Now, let me talk about, you know, I don't know if people always get this idea, like there's a certain ways that people should dress. You know, people have ideas. They dress anything. I'm not even talking about Shabbos, just during the week. Now, there's a tshuva from Avadia who says that he was asked, could people dress in shorts? So, to shul, right. So, Rav Avadia said, the people, if they work on kibbutzim, this is the way they normally go, in shorts, so they could daven in shorts. But A, that's sort of like in Eretz Israel where people walk around like shorts, you know, like you know, like everything, you know, just about. But B, you know, I think a lot of other rabbis think otherwise, that a person, you know, shouldn't be in shorts and daven and should dress in a certain way. You know, it's like you should be, you know, all covered up. when you daven. And it's just like people have, you know, all sorts of senses about how they want to daven. All right, let's get back in the Gemara. So we're on line 6 in the Gemara. So summa poris l'shma v'chulei. A summa, a blind person, is poris l'shma. We had the machlok between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda. According to the Chachamim, summa no problem saying birchos kriyat shma for others. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, absolutely not. So Tanya, we learned the Braisa, Amru lo Rabbi Yehuda, that the Chachamim said to Rabbi Yehuda, they're trying to prove that the summa could make the bracha, harbeit safu l'drosh b'merkava lo ra'u otamimeyam. Many people sought to darshan the Merkava. Masi Merkava is a vision of Yechezkel, even though they had never seen the Merkava, but they darshaned it. In other words, so, and the blind person could also darshan it and understand it. So just like we darshan Masi Merkava, we never saw the vision of the Merkava, and we could, and the blind person also didn't, but everybody can darshan and understand it, so too here as well. But Rabbi Huda says, Hatam Bavanta Liba Talibelt. He says, that's just Talui with understanding. It's really like he says, the heart means like your brain, you understand what the image would be like. Here with the light, it's Talui according to Tan Rabbi Huda with getting Hana'a from the light. Bahalately Hana. He doesn't get Hana'a from the light. It means the illumination, not the heat, the illumination. Rabbanan, the Chachamim respond, Itle Hana'a to Rabbi Yossi. That no, the Summa does get benefit from light, like the Tan Rabbi Yossi explains. The Tani, we learn the Braisa, I'm Rabbi Yossi, well, Yamai Aitim Itztayer Al Mikraze. My whole life, I was always bothered with the following Pasuk. It says, Vayitam Mashesh, but it's in the Tochacha. It says, Vayitam Mashesh, but Tzaraim. You'll grope in the Tzaraim in the afternoon. Shri Mashesh, Iver Ba'afila. Like the blind person gropes in the darkness. Bechima Ichpatli Iver Ba'afilora. What difference does it make for the blind person, whether it's light or it's dark? In other words, why does the Torah say, like the Iver gropes in the darkness? What difference is dark? Like for the Iver, it's always dark. He says, Ad Shabamaz Tzadiyadi, until the following incident occurred to me, and I understood the meaning of the Pasuk. Pamachalitim alich mehalech b'ishol ma'ad b'afela. Once I was walking out at night when it was pitch black, ishol ma'ad b'afela means like pitch black, nothing. He says, V'ra'iti suma, and I saw a blind person, Shemahalech Baderek, that was walking on the path, but Avu Kibiyado, he was carrying a torch. He says, so I said to him, what are you doing with the torch? How is the torch helping you? You're blind. So Amarli, he said to me, as long as I have the torch, people see me, they save me from the holes in the pathway, and from the thorns and from the briars. And so other people see the light and help me. So in that fashion, according to the Chachamim, that the Summa does get benefit from the light, indirectly, but he does get benefit from the light. All right, who's got questions, comments, thoughts, and anything we did so far? Yes, no, so he means that if I make the bracha with Sermo wrote and I had benefited in the past, so I know how to, I know how to make the bracha Yotzer Hamo wrote. And there was, even if I'm in a dark room, I make the bracha Yotzer Hamo wrote. So he means that, like, he knows what bracha is, and so he can make the bracha, all right? All right, so now, all right, let me see if I have some sheets here, and then we'll move on. All right. Oh, okay. Let me just mention one other thing. This is, we had about Katan Kori B'Torah Matar game. So I'm doing the last half of this piece is from the Aladaf. The Magen Avraham maintains that although a minor may be honored with an aliyah, he's not qualified to serve as Baal Kori and read the Torah for the congregation. And we always cite the bracha. That's like you were saying. He says, the Prima Gadim, however, points out that in Talmudic times, one who was called for the Aliyah would read from the Torah. Hence, since the Gemara permits calling a minor to the Torah, it appears that a minor may serve even as a Baal Kori and read the Torah for the congregation. The Igros Moshe, that's where Moshe Feinstein rules, that in extenuating circumstances, we may rely on the Prima Gadim and have a minor serve as Baal Kori. He says, for example, that if a bar mitzvah boy mistakenly practiced the parsha of the fools on the week preceding his 13th birthday. In other words, let's say by accident, like somebody made a mistake. And the bar mitzvah boy, he prepared, let's say this week is Parsha's bow. So he prepared Parsha's bow. And then we realized the date of the bar mitzvah is really like 3 days later. So now he's got the bar mitzvah and it was what I'm caught between a rock and a hard place. Moshe says we can allow him to read from the Torah on the Shabbos before his 13th birthday, since preventing him from reading the Parsha, which he prepared with great effort, would cause him and his family a lot of distress. We rely on the Prima God and allow him to read it as a minor. The Mishnah Berurah, citing Latter-day authorities, writes that today the custom is to give a minor only Mafkir and not any other Aliyah. So even though it means going back to Katan, Olam, and Shiva, so we Ashkenazim, we only give the Katan, even that we don't even do so much in this shul, but the minhag was that he would get mafkir. I think he would lay the mafkir too. I think no. Let me see. He would do the certainly the haftorah. One second. Not the other. Yeah. So since he says about the Torah, all right, maybe not the laning, but he would get the aliyah and then do the haftorah. Certainly that he would do. All right. But I told you there are some Sephardic places where they do lane when they're below bar mitzvah. They do lane. That's what I've heard in the Syrian community. All right. I'm gonna move on.
It's Tunisian custom to read at the age of 7.
Oh, okay. So to Tunisia. Parshat
Noach.
Okay. All right. Very nice. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for that input. Was your father from Tunisia again, Malka?
Yeah, of course.
Mark? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Let's go further in the Gemara. Okay. So the second wide line from the top. Okay. So manitin kohen sheish bidav mumin. If a kohen has mumim on his hands, like blemishes on his hands, lo yisak kapav. Shouldn't duchen. We're afraid people will be attracted to look at the hands. They're not supposed to look at the hands of the kohen when they duchen. And Rashi brings down that if you look at the Rashi, this first narrow line, lefisha amis taklim bov imrinu b'masef giga. Masechhi, which is coming up in Daf Yomi in another 6 weeks, Amistakel b'konei b'shashos in a kapeim enav keo, like his vision is impaired. Pisa shchina shorel yadein, that the shchina is shor on the hands of the konei. All right, we'll see in a minute. Now he says, that's back in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, af mishedav tzvuot, if the hands were like had dye on it, he shouldn't look. And tzvuot tzis, tzis is like some purple color, woad, they said. All right, so the Gemara says, Tana taught in a brisa. I have to pick up the pace a little bit, so I won't pause for a bit. It says, so Tana taught in a brisa, Mumim Shamru, Befanav Yadav Ragel. The Mumim that we're addressing are in his face, his hands, and his feet. I was talking to Rabbi Stavlovsky today. He said that Yerchas Kohen, there was a Kohen is about Mum, can't do a vote of the base of Mikdash, but the vote of the base of Mikdash does not include Yerchas Kohen. So Baal Mum could do Birchas Kohanim, but here it's saying if it's something that will attract people's attention, he shouldn't do it. So if he's got something on his face, his hands, or his feet, means that if we take off the shoes and the feet would be revealed. So Amr B'Shmuel Levi, Yadabo Haknio Lo Yisak Kapav. A person's hands are spotted, he shouldn't do it. Tani Nami Hachi, Yadabo Haknio Lo Yisak Kapav. A person has spotted hands, he shouldn't do it. Akumo Rakusho Lo Yisak Kapav. If his hands are bent over, either or bent to the side, he shouldn't do it. Amar Basi, Chayfani Beishani lo yisak kapav. A person from Chayfa or from Beit Shan should not do it. And we'll see in a minute. So it comes out they don't pronounce the Hebrew words so well. Tani nami hafi emo rin lefnei ateva. Another Bryce that supports that because the Bryce says we wouldn't have as a shibur lo anshei Beit Shan, not somebody from Beit Shan. Below on Shei Beit Chayfa, or people from Chayfa, below on Shei Tivonin, or people from Tivonin, another place. Neshikor la Alfin Einin ula Einin Alfin. They interchange an Aleph with an Ayin. Now there is a difference between the Sephardim have it like the Ayin is more guttural, but today we at least Ashkenazim don't know how to distinguish between the Aleph and Ayin. So today we would call such a person. It was Manach Hasali knew how to distinguish. They wouldn't. If somebody didn't know how to distinguish between that. So in those places. In Beit Shan and Haifa and Givoni, they did not distinguish an Aleph and Ayin, so you'd want to call them. And Rashi points out that you could really change the meaning of the word, like Ya'er Hashem Panavilecha, Hashem should illuminate his eyes with an Aleph, but if I pronounce it with an Ayin, it's Ya'er means like arouse, like Hashem's, like and Ya'er Hashem Panavilecha, Panav could mean anger. Rashi brings Pesukim where the panim implies anger, but like when Hashem says, "Ani atena panai ba ishahu," I'm gonna like focus on the person, means to punish them. So it could change the whole meaning of the pasuk or the whole meaning of the tefillah. So back in the Gemara, I gotta run. So Amalei Rabbi Chiya, Rabbi Shimon bar Rabbi. Rabbi Chiya said to Rabbi Shimon, the son of Rabbi, "Imalei ata Levi. If you were a Levi, you're not a Levi, but if you were a Levi, pasul tamen adukhan. You would be pasul from dukhaning in the base of Mikdash, Rishim to Abi Kalach, because your voice is very thick. So I think it means like maybe like a bass, a little bit more low." So he says, and so Mele, you couldn't sing together with all the Levim. So Ata Amalei Lavua. So Reb Shimon bar Rebbe came back to his father, Amalei. Rebbe says to him, "Zil Amalei, go tell him, Shatamaki Eitzel v'chikiti Lashem, when you go tell Rebbe Chia, when you get to the Pasuk, v'chikiti Lashem, I'll wait to Hashem, let him say Mechariah v'megadeh. Won't you be Mechariah v'megadeh?" Because it comes out that Rebbe Chia, you know, would call Chet and Hayin. In other words, he didn't know how to do, or he wasn't able to distinguish between a Hayin and a Chet. So the Pasuk would sound like he. Kiti Lashem, like I'll strike Hashem, Chas V'Shalom. So, but the question is, what's this whole give and take between both of them? So I saw quoted that the Chasam Sofer wants to say like this, that like to be a member of the Sanhedrin, you can't have a mom. So Rabbi Chia was saying to Shimon bar Rebbe that mainly you have a mom, like that if you were a Levi, you couldn't serve as a Levi, mainly that would be a mom to block you from being a member of the Sanhedrin. And then Rebbe said to send him, you don't know how to say the chet, and that should block you from it. Since it doesn't block you, the other thing won't block my son. That give and take. You know, there's a story about Ramosha that Ramosha needed he needed a pacemaker put in, and he didn't want to have the pacemaker put in until he spoke to Ramosha David Tendler, his son-in-law, who assured him, he said that people tell him that he's like the foremost Torah scholar of the generation. So Lou Yetzir, the Mashiach, would come. He'd be a candidate to be on the Sanhedrin. He didn't want to do something that would cause a mum that would block him from being on the Sanhedrin. So until Rav Moshe David assured him that this would not be a mum, the putting of the pacemaker in. Okay, so let's be back in the Gemara. So I'm a Rav Huna. Rav Huna says, Zav l'gan lo yisai kapav. A person is like teary-eyed. His eyes keep tearing. He shouldn't be nosei kapav. So the Gemara says, "Va'ahuda habu shavuti Rav Huna va'paris yadei." But it's a certain person whose eyes were always tearing, the neighbor of Rav Huna, and he did duchen. Who dashbi rohaba? He was always like around the place. Everybody got habituated to him, so they didn't like look at him anymore. In other words, like if you see the person all the time, it doesn't cause a ruckus. Tani nami hachi. When the Rebbe says, "Support says zavlagan loisak kapav," a zavlagan, a person with teary eyes, he shouldn't duchen. We have dash beiro mutar, but if he's like accustomed around in the town all the time, it's permissible. Rabbi Yochanan sumba chaminav loisai kapav. If a person is blind in one eye, he shouldn't duchen. Again, it will catch people's attention. He says, "Vahu dahav b'shavuti Rabbi Yochanan." There was a one-eyed kohen in the neighborhood of Rabbi Yochanan. Dahav paris yadei, he would duchen. Who dash beiro hav? Again, he was always around there. So they didn't stare at him; they were used to him. He says, "Tani nami haki." Lomar Bryce supports that. The sum is blind in one eye. You shouldn't duchen. Okay, now, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mishidav Tzvua lo yisakapav. The Tana Rabbi Yehuda says, if a person's hands are dyed, you shouldn't duchen. Tana Torna Braisa, in Roban Shagir, Malachtan Bekach Mutar. If everybody in the city, let's say they're all working in a certain trade, and everybody's hands are all dyed, they're all painters, and they all have paint on their hands, so then it's like no harm, no foul, because everybody's that way. Okay, I have 30 seconds for questions that I got to run.
I don't get this.
Who, what?
If you're not supposed to look, you're not supposed to look.
Right, so we're afraid.
A child is taught that.
Yeah, so we're afraid that people's attention, look at this coin. He's got like this, that's the other, and they will look.
But if you're not looking in that direction, bichlal.
All right, that's okay. So Michael says the hands are covered with talitim. So they weren't always covered with talitim. And I don't have time to really go over the whole thing right now. But if we have time at the end, I'll try to come back to this. Okay. But the truth is, today, at least, that's the way many people do, that the kohenim cover their hands and they cover their heads with the talis. But it wasn't always true. But I have to run. Okay. And let me finish the daf. And if I have time, I'll try to come back. Okay. So let's do the last mishnah and last piece of Gemara. So last mishnah says, "Matnita, ha'omer, ain't you available to a teva but tzvuin?" The person says, I'm not going to daven to Sibur with colored clothes. In other words, I only wear one with white clothes when I daven. And even in white clothes, we shouldn't permit it to daven because the Gemara is going to explain it's like derech mina, like heresy, like that he doesn't want to daven with the tzivonim. He says, Besandal, any over, he says, I don't want to daven from the Amud like wearing a sandal or wearing a shoe. Afya cheflo yavur. So even barefoot, he shouldn't be over. Now, ha'oset tfilato agula, sakana ve'eva mitzvah. If he makes his tefillin shalrosh, like a sphere, so that's a sakana because the world learns like it could, like if it's flat, it's not going to harm his head. If it's round, it could dig into his skull. But eva, there's no mitzvah. You know, the mitzvah is that it should be like flat and square. Nitana mitzvah wal pasyado. If he put the tefillin on his forehead, unfortunately, a lot of people aren't, you know, maybe they don't know, whatever, but the tefillin, it needs to be above the hairline, the shalrosh, and you see a lot of people, the tefillin are lower than that. So if he puts the tefillin on his forehead, or al pasiado, the tefillin shel yad, on his palm of his hand, erase derech amina. That's also derech of heresy. See, pan zahav, if he covered the tefillin with gold, so I don't know, the Arsul said he covered the parchments with gold, but in other words, the point is that it says, so Chazal teach us, so even though gold is not treif, but it has to be something that you could theoretically eat. So you're not going to eat gold. And he put it on his sleeve. Chitzon means like people who aren't following the teaching of Chazal. Okay, now, Gemara says, now with the first halacha, if a person says, I'm only going to daven the Amud with color, with I'm not going to daven with colored clothes, so we don't let him daven with white clothes. So my itam chashin shem minut mizrakah. But we're koshesh, maybe he's got some sort of heresy that he like. It's not a Jewish custom, you know, to avoid colored clothes. So he says, "Oset tefillin tovagul sakana ve'eva mitzvah." And he makes the tefillin shalrosh round. That's a sakana. There's no mitzvah. So lema tanim lahatan rabbanan. Should we say we learned from the Mishnah just now that which the Chachamim teach us in the Braisa? He says the Braisa says the lahatan rabbanan tefillin ruba od halakha l'shem Sinai. The tefillin have to be square. That's halakha l'shem Sinai. But Amarava b'tfaranu b'lasonan. Rava says if they're stitching has to be like square, and I shouldn't pull the stitching too tight and change the square, and it has to be squared off like the diagonal. So like in other words, like it has to be like now they have Rashi brings down if it's let's say 1 unit in width, let's say it's 1 inch in width. It's 1.4 inches the hypotenuse. In other words, that's the way Chazal, you know, calculated it. But you know, now the so firm they have like a keli, which shows that it's scale squared. So the point being that we think that this is teaching me the same thing as in the Mishnah. Since the thing has to be squared, so we think and it has to be flat at the bottom. So that would obviously exclude a round pair of tefillin, which is what the Mishnah says. We think the Mishnah and the Braisa are saying the same thing. So Amara Papa, Matnitin Davida Kiambuza. So Papa says no. The Mishnah is talking where it could be like a nut, but Rashi explains like a lentil. Lentil is round, but flat on one side. So the Tana of the Mishnah says it can't be round. Meaning, even if it's flat on the bottom, it can't be round, is what the Tana Mishnah is teaching me. And the Tana of the Braisa is teaching me that it has to be square. He says, yeah, below to side the Braisa beneath. In other words, you can't bring a conclusive support from the Braisa from our Mishnah. In other words, the Tana of the Mishnah says it can't be round like a ball. That's what Tana Mishnah says. So from there, I would assume that if it's flat on the bottom, but it's round, it's good. That's from our Mishnah. And the Tana of the Braisa says it has to be square, but I can't bring a conclusive proof from our Mishnah to the Braisa. The Braisa is saying more than what the Mishnah is saying. All right, I can only do 60 seconds with this. This is about covering it. Let's just do briefly with this. He's got a long piece here. All right. Okay. So the Rambam says when the konim duchen, you shouldn't look at them, and you shouldn't be mesiach dad. Everyone should look down, and be mechaving to the bracho. The Rama adds that gamma konim lo yistaklu bidayim. The konim shouldn't look at their hands, The Ramah says that the minhag is that they have a talis over their heads, but their hands are sticking outside the talis, is what the Ramah says. He says, then the Ramah adds on that there were places that had the minhag that the kohanim cover their hands. So the Ramah is familiar with two minhagim, one that the kohanim stick their hands outside the talis, one that it's covered by the talis. So from the Ramah says that everybody had the minhag to cover their heads, though. And some had the minhag to cover their hands and some not. And the Beis Yosef only brings one minhag, because the minhag is that the kohanim have the minhag to cover their heads and their heads and their hands. So the Moreh Ketziah, that's Rabbi Yaakov Emden, he's not happy from this minhag. He says that this minhag isn't mentioned in the Gemara, so it's not, he thinks that it's not correct. And he adds on, it's not derech kavod that the mevarech should cover his face in a talis. In other words, the idea that the kohanim are covering the heads in the talis is not mentioned in the Gemara, and Rabbi Yaakov Emden doesn't think it's derech kavod. So now, what's the son of Rabbi Yaakov Emden? Right, Rabbi Yaakov Emden. Okay, so now he says here, for the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, he says that it's better that the hands are exposed. Nothing should be chotzeis between the hands and the people. He says, now there are hilo kashuvot from B'nai Teiman that the kohanim don't cover their faces and their hands. Anyway, there's different minhag about covering or not, but I got to finish up. That's it. Okay, nice having everybody. I apologize. We got to get going. Okay, one second.